We are so thankful today, aren't we? Praise the Lord. My message today is called From Tragedy to Triumph. He is risen. No wonder we can have joy unspeakable. As he said, he has risen from the dead. The dark events surrounding his crucifixion had left all who had believed that Jesus was the Messiah discouraged. They had expected him to begin his earthly reign. But instead, Jesus had been crucified. The good news is that what seemed like a tragedy would soon be turned into a triumph. Among the religions of the earth, Jesus Christ is unique. He is the only one of whom his followers can claim with great joy that he died and 3 days later came back to life. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. He alone is worthy to be praised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you made a way for us to escape from eternal death through your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty of sin by dying in our place. Through his blood, we are set free. He is risen means that Jesus is alive. We praise God today for the personal knowledge that he is not only the living Savior of the world, but that he can be ours personally. We exalt your name, O Jesus. Amen. First, we're going to be looking at Matthew 28, 1 through 6. And this is point number one, the resurrection. Matthew 28, 1 through 6. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. I just want to stop there for a moment. Think of this angel, how big he must have been, because he sat on that stone, that big stone that covered the opening to the sepulcher. He had to have been huge. And to see him look like lightning and his clothes being so white, really, you know, when you look at verse 4 and on, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. I wonder how we react. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." In a world that's on the brink of collapse, gripped by hate and filled with despair, we have the powerful message of love, peace, and hope. We have the message of life. And we're going to read about that in John 11, 25 through 26. Because it provides us with hope. And these are Jesus' words, himself. Jesus said to her, and this was Martha. He said this at a time when it looked like there was no hope. Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days, and they had asked for him to come. They had asked for Jesus to come when he was just sick. And now, Jesus is standing before Martha, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? We're going to be looking at Revelations chapter 1, verse 18. Because from the beginning of Scripture to the end of Scripture, we have the truth that Jesus is alive, that he is our Savior, that he is God. Biographies are written about men whose lives ended with their death. Not so with Jesus, because he rose from the dead and became our living Savior. And this is a wonderful testimony, because if you remember, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, which is today. He was resurrected on a Sunday. And Jesus said, I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Jesus has the keys. Praise God. There is a story in my devotional, and it's called Be Still and Know It. It's by Millie Stahm, and it gives a testimony of a child who tells a man all about what happened to Jesus. And I think the kids would enjoy this, because the Lord uses children to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, even to the adults. One day, a man stood looking into a shop window at the picture of the crucifixion. Standing next to him was a ragged little street urchin, lost in contemplation of the picture, wondering if the boy really understood what its meaning was. The man said, Sonny, what does it mean? Don't you know, the boy said. That man is Jesus. The woman crying is his mother. The others are the Roman soldiers. He paused. Then he continued. They killed him. The man turned away. In a moment, he heard steps running after him, and it was the little boy. Breathlessly, the boy said, Say, mister, I forgot to tell you, he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. The Bible explicitly states that the gravestone had been moved, and our Savior's body was missing. As we read in Matthew 28, an angel of the Lord had rolled back the stone that sealed the grave. It was not to let Jesus out, because he was already gone. It was to let us know and to see for ourselves the evidence of the empty tomb. That amazing truth still resonates in our souls today. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Point number two, we're going to turn to Matthew 27, verses 50 through 54 and 62 through 66. And we are going to learn the reports of the centurion and the guard at the tomb. So firstly, beginning in verse 50. And when Jesus had cried again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs were broke open and bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of their tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Let's continue reading in verses 62 to 66. And we're going to hear what happened that the guards saw. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that when he was still alive, the deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went to the tomb and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Okay. The seal would have been the seal that of Pilate. So if that would be broken, anybody there, the guards, would be killed because they had let somebody break in. I had told you about the report that Pontius Pilate had written to Caesar, and I said I would read to you the rest of the report on Resurrection Sunday. So I'm going to read again from the book. I think all of you were here that, so I won't go back. And we just remember that it was the Reverend W.D. Mahan in 1887 who went searching for documents. And he had found this letter. It was written on papyrus scroll, and it was to Caesar from Pilate himself. And of course, the book is The Genesis Factor, The Amazing Mysteries of the Bible Codes by Yaakov Ramsel. And I'm going to read from his report from Dr. Maham from the Arco volume. So Pilate is quoting Ben Yasham, a sentry at the tomb. He said that about the beginning of the fourth watch, they saw a soft and beautiful light over the sepulcher. He had at first thought that the women had come to embalm the body of Jesus, as was their custom. But he could not see how they had gotten through the guards. While these thoughts were passing through his mind, behold, the whole place was lighted up, and there seemed to be crowds of the dead in their grave clothes. all seemed to be shouting and filled with ecstasy, while all around and above was the most beautiful music he had ever heard. And the whole air seemed to be full of voices praising God. Pilate's concluding remarks in this report is on page 147 in the Arco volume. And this is what Pilate said about this. I am almost ready to say, as did Manlius at the cross, truly, this was the Son of God. Hallelujah. We're going to be looking at John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, and the other disciple's John, and he always refers to himself as the one Jesus loved. So to me, just a little side note, I'm thinking he's going, I'm his favorite, and the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Now I want you to think about these strips of linen. They would have put Jesus, he was mummified. They wrapped him like a mummy because that's what they were taught to do. So think of Jesus rising out of a cocoon. He didn't just flip off a cloth. Then Simon Peter was behind him and arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside, and he saw and believed. So why would they have taken the time to say that they found the cloth that covered his head folded by itself from the linen, separate? There was a certain way that you folded, you know, like if you were at a meal and you got up, you folded your napkin in a certain way to say, I'm coming back, don't take my stuff. Well, Jesus is saying here, I am alive, I'm back. This was another testimony. So Jesus appears to many. We're going to read the accounts in John chapter 20, 24 through 31. And then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. So first, let us read what John had to say concerning the appearance of Jesus following the resurrection. So John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger in his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So just think about it. When you have your resurrected body, you can walk through doors and walls without worrying. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, think about it. If it's a lie that Jesus, he was still dead, don't you think one of these people that saw him would blab about it? How many people do you know that can keep a secret? Seriously, there was 500 at one time. There had to be somebody that would have said if it was not true. For all the disciples, seeing was believing. And Jesus took the opportunity to tell them that those who believe without having seen him will be even more blessed by his presence. Since Jesus returned to heaven, those who believe in him without seeing our Savior face to face and have faithfully trusted in Jesus based on the truth of Scripture and the inner witness of the Holy Spirit are convinced that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And we are blessed with eternal life. Can you say, as Thomas declared, "My Lord and my God"? And now in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8, the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthian church about the resurrection of Jesus. And if you remember, he was a person who despised Christians. He thought they were not a true, they couldn't possibly be Jewish anymore. And they had fallen for something that was not true. So his job, he felt, was to persecute the believers, the Christian, and to go and round them up or beat them and kill them. But we know one day, he was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord came and knocked him off his high horse, right? And asked him, "Don't you know who I am?" And we know that the Apostle Paul suffered greatly because of the cross of Christ. And we also know he has written, two-thirds of the New Testament. So, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. "For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. So we can see there are too many eyewitnesses for us to doubt the reality of the resurrection, hundreds of them. Not only that, his followers were so committed to this truth that they preached at the risk of death. And all of them died a horrific death. They paid with their life, except for John, but we remember he was boiled in hot oil, and they could not kill him, so they sent him to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation in his 90s. So Matthew 28, 16 through 20 tells us, point number 5, the Great Commission. Now before I say this, I just want to add, don't you think that Jesus would have told them what was the most important thing he wanted them to know? What the biggest thing would have been on his heart? He was getting ready to ascend back into heaven. What would be the last thing he would say? We know from our own personal lives, if someone we love, we're not going to see them for a long time, how we don't share with them so much about, oh, look at the weather or whatever. We talk about something that's deep within us, that we love them, and we're looking forward to seeing them again. And when someone on their deathbed is gathered with their family, don't you think they're going to share the most important thing that would be on their heart? Well, this is what was on Christ's heart. Christ commissioned his disciples throughout the centuries to continue his ministry of seeking and saving the lost. So what was the Great Commission? So let's close with Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus' death and resurrection gives us the promise of life everlasting. He said, "Because I live, you will also live." This encourages us to know that his life gives us the power to meet each situation, and it is sufficient for each day. Have you lost your zeal and reality of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus? Knowing the nearness of his presence doesn't depend on our feelings. We accept it by faith. One of the precious hymns asks this question. You ask me how I know he lives. The answer, he lives within my heart. This is a day of great joy. There are many still searching for the answer to life. Are we sharing the good news? Jesus has commissioned us to go and tell. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. We come before you, Heavenly Father, and let us remember what Jesus has said. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We believe and we receive this wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus. Our joy is complete in you. Let us serve you with gladness as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Have a wonderful day. And remember, there's no day like today. Jesus is alive, just as he said. Amen.